Good morning. Welcome to Glen Acres. We came here for an Easter morning message. You may be surprised. Will we talk about the resurrection? Yes, we will. Somehow, some of the very most important things in life somehow get lost in the shuffle. The things that we celebrate even, like Christmas, Easter, we take for granted that we understand what it's about. And here at Glen Acres, we're quite convinced that it's dangerous to take things, especially of an eternal religious nature, for granted. We believe that everything really needs to be checked against the Word, which describes for us the original faith as it was initially delivered to the church. That's found in the Word of God. Jude 3 says, striving to the faith once for all delivered unto the saints. That means that was a message. We're not to follow a copy of the copy. Traditions of men were simply to follow the Word of God. And we are to seek to abide in love, according to Scripture. Scripture tells us that we should make love our aim. And that's in 1 Corinthians 14:1. This morning's message is entitled, Rise and Shine. Good words, inspiring words, maybe not always such welcome words. Any of you as youngsters have your parents come in and say, rise and shine? They weren't so welcome, those words. I see. Chuck and Jerry, did they do that sometimes? They did. Well, good for them. Sometimes we just kind of need a wake-up call. And this morning, there's a message that will be relevant to you, whether this is your first time setting foot in a church or whether you've been here for the last 50 years, and some have. It is relevant for every person who believes there is such a thing as God, and maybe a few who don't, but are willing to repent. God has given you a calling. If you have been wandering around, kind of waiting for your call from God, you're in the right place. I remember when I was a young man, I heard people talk about my dad, and they would say, he missed his calling. I thought, oh no, my dad missed his calling. Well, what was that? He could have been a politician. Well, that's not much of a calling, but, it could be. I shouldn't say that. We need godly people in leadership in every respect. But, what about it? Have you received your calling? You say, I'm too old to hear it, even if I could receive it. I'm beginning to identify with you as time goes on. But I waited for a long time for my calling. I wasn't particularly anticipating it because I thought it might have something to do with righteousness and all that stuff. And I remember several times thinking about a calling from God. Well, if God has something that He wants for me, He's going to let me know, probably in a pretty vivid way. And then the day came when something astounding happened. I realized I didn't have to wait for God. He has been waiting for me. He's already made the call. He's just waiting for me to respond to it. That was a revelation. It truly was. And it was part of something that happened in just minutes that absolutely changed my life. I heard God's call through Jesus Christ. I opened my mind to think about him, who he was, what he stood for, and that whole thing about the cross and all of that. Well, I found out that God had a calling for me specifically. And this was not unique. This was not something just given to Don Fleming by any means. I was a mess. My life was a mess. I had things together from the world's point of view. I made good money and I had a lot of success. But it didn't mean a thing. My life actually, really, was a mess. A lot of confusion. A lot of darkness. I guess you could say would be the best way to describe it. And suddenly a voice, not audible voice, but a voice from within, just responded to my request. I said, you know what? If Jesus really is who he said he was, there's really not much else that makes a difference. If he really is who he said he was, this life is just a drop in the bucket. And the things that we worry about and scurry around for every day are just minuscule in comparison with the real import of things. If he really is who he said he was, that means that I, as badly as I had messed up, was forgiven and could have brand new life, could be raised up from the dead, so to speak. I didn't think of it in those terms then, but that is what happened. The resurrection. Everybody gets excited about the resurrection. We'll have let's have a bunch of Easter egg hunts and et cetera, et cetera. Well, it is exciting. It's exciting thinking about the resurrection of Jesus. But you know the problem with it? It's a commemoration. What's that? Well, a memory of something that happened a long time ago. That's the problem with it. This morning, we're not going to talk about this thing that happened a long time ago, although it would be apt. But we're going to talk about right now, right here, at this intersection in space and time. We're going to talk about resurrection right here, right now. Clear back in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, is an interesting passage. Let me introduce it by asking this. Where did that saying, arise and shine, where did that come from? Anybody know where that originated? Did you know that the Brits take credit for that saying? The British soldiers used to wake one another up with that, arise and shine. You know? That's such unwelcome words first thing in the morning, but do you know where it originated? Somebody? Anybody? Come on now. Ivan. Fill me out. Where did it originate? Huh? Okay, two people get credit. Everybody else flunks. That's where it came from, or where it arose, if you will. Right there. Not on this screen, I mean in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Not during the time of the British army. There weren't any British then. Somebody's offended by that, I'm sorry. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, written 750 years before Jesus came, and it says, rise and shine. That's where it came from. Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Who was this speaking to? Israel. What was the occasion? They had been under siege for a long time. They had gone against God, and there was great punishment that came their way. And the time came, though, for their release from that. And the Lord let them know, rise and shine, for the glory of the Lord rises upon you. And you say, great, that's wonderful, but that was 750 years before Christ, which is about 2,000 years ago. So I want something now. When I want food, I go to McDonald's because I want something fast. When I want to go to the bank, I go to one where I can drive to because I want something fast. It doesn't get any faster than this. If you listen this morning, this next week will be as much brighter from last compared to last week as the day is from the night. But not just listening will do it. It's listening and believing. But not just that. It's listening and believing and applying it. Now you might ask, well, that should be good. How do I apply the resurrection? Well, we're going to take a look. Now, look at verse 2 in this text, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2. Behold, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness over the peoples. You see what it's talking about here? People living in darkness. It's not talking about a cloud of dust from Mount St. Helens making everything dark. It's talking about thick darkness, much thicker than that. Darkness that's so thick that people will continue going on through their lives in total black darkness, not knowing really, not really what they're doing. Sure, they go to work. Sure, they try to be a good husband, good father, good child. Okay, maybe not so often. They try to do a good thing. They try to live a reformed life. After all, you're supposed to get a little better as time goes on. And well, that's good enough, isn't it? If you think it is, listen especially close. Now, it's talking about thick darkness and the contrast of light. And it says, darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and His glory shall be seen upon you. God speaking a great promise to Israel. Was it fulfilled in their time? Not really. Will it be in our time? Really. Really. It will. It's going to happen. It is happening, and we just don't see it. His glory shall be seen upon you. What a tremendous promise. Wouldn't it be great if we could just see the beginning of something new where God's people, those who really believe in Him and love Him, who really believe in Jesus, suddenly the radiance of God shone upon their lives. Wouldn't that be tremendous? It's going to happen. This is God's calling for each and every one of us. It is for today. This scripture is now New Testament, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. Please mark that verse in your mind, because that verse tells us something about the resurrection. Let's look at it together. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." I always pictured the resurrection something like this. Maybe you did too. The great day of judgment comes. The mighty voice of God cries out, and there is resurrection. People springing up from the dead. Some to a resurrection of judgment. Some to a resurrection of glory, to a resurrection of salvation by the blood of Christ, by His love, by virtue of His obedience to God, by virtue of them trusting Him and believing Him and following Him. I've always pictured it that way, haven't you? Well, you're not off. It's entirely accurate. It will be that way. But look at this verse. It says, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Do you know who this is talking to?
talking to us.
I believe, Christian and non-Christian alike, this is God's calling. It's His calling to us. Do I know this? I am absolutely certain. If you don't think that you've had your calling, you're going to have it this morning. Does that mean that you're going to have to go around wearing black robes and in some kind of a convent somewhere? No. It doesn't mean that. It's much, much better than that, so don't worry. The Scripture says, Jesus said repeatedly, "Let him who has ears hear what the Spirit of God says." That is the first part in answering our calling, is having ears open to it. The first part in answering our calling is blockading things that might blockade us from God. It's eliminating them, tearing them down, throwing them away, and saying, if Jesus is who He said He was, I don't care what it means. I trust in Him. I believe in Him. My life is His. And don't panic. God is not going to take you anywhere that you don't need to be. He's not going to put you in any circumstance that is going to work against you or others. You can trust Him. He has a lot of power. Through Him, anything can be done. Anything. So here is, you could say, a fulfillment of what was, in a greater sense, the prophecy of the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2. That was a prophecy about something that would happen, and happened only in type to Israel, but happens in its fullness to us. We now become God's chosen people. Not only are called, but you're chosen. The critical thing is that we make our calling and election sure, as the Scripture says. And how do you do that? You do it just by saying, okay, yeah, all right, I believe it. No. No, that's part. But you do it by offering willingness. Willingness to change. By offering trust, saying, God, I trust You with my life. I believe, because of Jesus Christ, that You can do anything. That You can raise the dead. That You can give new life, new power, new insight and wisdom to a person who has walked all their life in darkness. Can He do that? Can He do that?
Yes.
Wow, all I have to do is ask twice. That's good. All right. He can do that, I'm telling you. He can do it. And He will do it. And there's nothing that can stop Him from doing it if you and Him, the two of you together, come to a place where you meet and you have an honest heart-to-heart. You say, God, I do trust You. I believe in Jesus and everything that He did and said. I'm putting my life in Your hands and meaning it. If you do that, nobody and nothing can stop you. God will bless your way. He will give you light. He will always give light to those who are open and trusting to Him. The Scripture speaks the mystery. Paul says, I have the commission of God, the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. In its fullness. I'll tell you, you know, you can go to church for a month of Sundays, a year of Sundays if you live that long, and you may not hear the real truth or the whole truth. You may never hear the word sin mentioned. You may never hear about the blood, anything about the blood of Christ, because it's unpleasant. You may not hear anything in relation to the real needs of your soul for honesty and for change. So Paul said, God gave him a commission to present the word in its fullness. And now watch this. He says, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. A mystery. I love mystery. And this is the biggest mystery of all time, right here. God is disclosing a mystery hidden for ages and generations. Wouldn't it be great if we lived in a generation where that would finally be revealed? Wow. I'll bet that would be a moment of glory. In Colossians 1, verses 25 through 26, it reveals precisely what that mystery is. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yeah. Oh boy, I was looking for something really interesting, but now this sounds pretty religious. Now, hang on a second. Take a good close look at this. It says, the hope of glory. This is like the hope of all time. This is the thing. And what is that? It's Christ in you. Say, oh boy, I'm in trouble. I don't want anything like that. I just want to basically, you know, go to church Christmas and Easter. That's a bad thing. I got you here this morning. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What if, just imagine, if all of a sudden God did a work in the church where you could see the heart of Jesus and the people there. You could see it in their eyes, hear it in their voice. What if it became a visible, tangible thing? And you look and you could see Jesus in the person sitting next to you. What if that happened? It says that mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm telling you that religianity today is lying to you. It is lying to you. It's telling you that all you have to do is reform, become a little bit better, and that's all God expects. You don't have to do anything radical, be anything radical, or make any radical changes in your life. All you have to do is be a good person, a nice person, and, you know, basically. But somehow it doesn't have the same luster as Christ in you, the hope of glory, does it? No. And I think that's really what everybody wants. If it scares you, don't worry, because as you see it, you'll say, wow, I like that. Give yourself time. Open your heart and your mind. And see if God doesn't reveal to you. As you are willing, he doesn't force himself on anybody. Some brand new things in this life. So, the mystery of all ages, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay, so how do I start? If I really do believe in Jesus, and I really do want to commit my life to him, how do I start? Where do I begin? Beginning in Acts 2, verse 38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Pretty clear, simple, easy to follow. That is a beginning point. It is talking about baptism. Now it says in the next verse, verse 39, the promise is for you and your children and for all those who are far off, all whom the Lord God will call to himself. These are the people who have been called. How many people here have been called? Everybody raise your hand. Everybody raise your hand. Come on. Raise your hand even if you don't feel like it. Come on now. Everybody raise your hand. Because you have been called. I'm telling you. You have been. Now the only question is whether you answer the call. Because you have to make your calling and election sure. For all whom the Lord our God will call. That promise is for each one of us here. If we do what it simply says, repent and are baptized, we will be forgiven and we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, that's pretty simple. It doesn't get much simpler than that. Now, for those of you who are going, oh yeah, well, alright, yeah, I know that. I did all that. I was baptized. Okay, now hang on. Because the other part is right here. We have to obey the gospel. As Christians, we actually have to obey the gospel. Did you know that? I'm just giving this a quick run because that's all we have time for. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, the scripture gives us very clear terminology, very clear, that tells us that we must obey the gospel. Okay, first of all, what is the gospel? That's 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. What is the gospel? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. In that passage, it says, I would remind you, brethren, in what terms I preach to you the gospel, in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold it fast, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered unto you as of first importance. Here's the most important thing. And here are the terms of the gospel. How Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture. That he was buried. And that he was raised from the dead on the third day, in accordance with the scripture. In the fulfillment of the Old Testament, it happened. It happened. Well, that puts it in history. We know there's a resurrection coming in the future, but what about right now, right here, at this intersection of time and space? Well, it's up to one thing. It's up to me. It's what I do. Because God has given you free will. He will not push his way into your life. He will not force you. He will simply respond if you're responsive to him. He says, okay, obey the gospel. Well, how do you do that? In Romans, the scripture says in Romans 6, beginning in verse 3 and going through verse 5, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? There is the first term of the gospel, the death of Christ. Somehow we joined him in that moment when he died. So as he died to his self, we die to ourselves. Oh, you mean it's not just a one-time thing, baptism? Well, no, not according to this, because we continue to die to self. Do that step out, and you are history. Now, we were baptized into his death. This is for people that have made that original step. They need to understand that we continually deny ourselves and pick up the cross and follow after Christ. That is the basis of new life, regeneration, and resurrection now. Right now. At this very moment, if I repent from an attitude that I recognize as wrong, if I repent from something that I know isn't right in my life, and I look to God, he will, in place of that, give me resurrection health. He will give me resurrection life. He'll give me vitality that is real. and is real in my heart, real in my soul. This is how people who are callous in heart can become loving. This is how people who are living in darkness and confused, not sure what to do next, and crying out, please God, I need some help. This is how there can be sight, how they can see where they're going and know what they're doing. Well, in verse 4, this is the second term of the gospel. It says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So, we saw the death in chapter 3, we see in chapter 4, the burial and the resurrection. Those are the terms to the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. When a person is baptized, they are reenacting the gospel of Christ. But that is only the beginning. Every day, hundreds of times throughout the day, the Christian takes on new, powerful resurrection life as they deny themselves and say, Lord, here's somebody in need, and help them. Every time they deny themselves and their own personal preferences and do it God's way, that's resurrection vitality. That is true spiritual vitality. This is no longer religianity. Now you're walking and talking. Now you're being instead of acting. Christians don't ever have to act anyway. You know that? If you're living by Christ, you don't have to act anyway. You can be who you are and know that God's grace will carry you through because you're committed to Him. So there it is, the death, burial, and resurrection in baptism. And it says that Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, that we too may have newness of life. And so in verse 4 it says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that Jesus Christ, just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Now, God's calling, as seen in Isaiah 60, verse 1, is plain. Arise and shine. We must, if we're going to do God's will, depend on that resurrection power. We must be willing to wake up. Arise. It's not always so welcome. And if you can, just say, you know what? I'm going to get up because that's the right thing to do. Anybody ever enjoy, do you enjoy getting up every morning? How many of you enjoy getting up every morning? Every morning? God bless you. That, please teach me your secret. Sometimes I don't. If it's a joy to get up in the morning, that's great. And many times, I love that feeling when you wake up bright-eyed, you know, and you just go, you know, your feet hit the floor, and you go, wow, it's going to be another day, you know. But sometimes it's not quite. Sometimes it's not quite like that. Sometimes you have days where the screen does weird things. But sometimes in order to arise, you have to say, I'm just going to do it. Life has some tough points, and you have to be tough if you're going to live the Christian life. You know, people who are weak-kneed, lily-livered hypocrites don't have any place in Christianity. You've got to be tough. You've got to be tough. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Past tense, past tense. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Now, I've got to share this with you. This is so exciting. His glory shall be seen upon you. Now, watch this. Peter was in prison. Things were pretty dark. It was pretty bad. Peter was in the midst of a tough struggle in his life.
But an angel of the Lord came and told him to arise. Do you know this story? Have you read it? Pretty exciting. It's in Acts chapter 12, beginning in verse 6. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Do you think he was going anywhere? He's sleeping between two soldiers. He's got chains on he's bound up with two chains, and there are two sentries at the door just in case something does happen in there. Do you think he's going to get out of there? Well, suddenly an angel of the Lord, verse 7, appeared, and a light shone in the cell. Now God, for some reason, whenever he does things, there seems to be light involved. And maybe it's because the scripture says he is light. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. The angel struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," the angel said. Now my policy is when an angel says, "Quick, get up," I do it, you know. And that's a command to arise. God is giving us a command to arise, even here, even now, this morning. He's giving us a command to wake up. He's giving us a command to rise and to shine. That God would bless our congregation with His radiance of His presence and love. What happened? Peter did what the angel said, and it says, the chains fell off Peter's wrist. Maybe you've got some chains of your own. I don't know what they are. Everybody seems to have them. But wouldn't you like to just be able to watch those things fall off and to be able to stand up and to be led free right past the guards that were guarding you and to see the chains drop off and the sentries outside just stand there while you walk right on by? That's the kind of freedom God wants you to have and the kind of freedom you can have, but you've got to respond to the call. So, the scripture tells us that we have to obey the gospel. How do I finish? Well, we know how you begin. You're baptized, which is a likeness of the gospel of Christ itself, the death and burial, and resurrection. But how do I finish? By continuing to obey the gospel. Every day, every moment, every time you're willing to say, God, I trust you. I'm not going to do my will, but thy will be done. It sounds familiar. It's something that Jesus said. And he knew a lot about obedience. He asked us to join him in perfect obedience. Jesus lived a life of perfect obedience. He just said, well, I can't do that. Because what? Why? What's stopping you? Really, what's stopping you? Well, my past. I've got a past with a couple of smugglers. Well, of course, we know God specializes in forgiving those things and giving us new life, having us washed and cleansed. We know that. And He is able to hold you up if you're just willing to walk the walk. So, how do we finish this? And that is by obeying the gospel. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it. Now that is to pay attention to the word of God, that is the word of the prophets, as to a light shining in a dark place. And watch this, listen to this, grasp it with your heart. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. The picture is one of a day dawning. It starts with a faint light on the horizon, and it grows and grows. And if it's the right day, you can see the brilliance of God's creation demonstrated in the sky. You can see clouds that just cover bits and pieces of the horizon and change, have different colors. There's nothing like a good sunrise. I know a song for some of you out there you might recognize. Dvorak wrote a beautiful, beautiful song about sunrise. It's a classical number, and so probably most of you haven't heard it. But as you listen to the strains of this song, you can picture the sunrise coming up on the horizon. It's an experience. Well, it talks about the morning star rising in the morning. What is the morning star? Safe guess. Safe guess. I'll tell you more than that. It is the right answer. It is Jesus rising in your heart. It's like that morning dawn rising, suddenly seeing light, and not only light, but glorious light, having a light up the world, a world where you can go out and live in God's grace and in His sunshine and know that He is blessing your steps. People sometimes scoff at obedience, sometimes are hesitant, sometimes are leery of it, but obedience is the path. Jesus has shown us the way. The scripture says that Jesus went to the cross to show us two things. He said He went to the cross to show us two things. One is that He loves the Father. It says so that the world would know that He loves the Father. And second is because He did the Father's will exactly what the Father commanded. Exactly what the Father commanded. Try that today. Give it 5 minutes anyhow and see if you can handle that. Okay, 1 minute. Okay, would you give me the next 30 seconds and just say, okay, Lord, whatever the Lord wants right now, I'll do it. Okay, start right here. Just go in your heart and your mind before Jesus. You don't have to go to any specific physical location. You know, it's between you and God. You say, Father, not my will, but thine be done, and you mean it. You will have wisdom, insight, understanding that you never had. If you walk that way, your life will amaze you and everybody around you. And perhaps the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ will be seen in you. We're going to sing a song of invitation this morning.